welcome to the third and last episode of Straight COGC. I'm your host Lewis, and I'm with Jack and Michael, and a special guest, Bailey. And I know I was off for the last podcast, but I'm back now. I don't know how it went. I don't know if it went good or not.
I think it went well.
Good. That's good. But today we're talking about indie rock, and for our special guest Bailey, he's also part of a band. Am I right in saying that? Yeah.
You could call it that.
Cool. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to ask you a few questions about your band. So just tell us about it. What's the band called?
We're called Avenue Street.
Cool. And what instrument do you play?
I play the drums.
Nice. And who are the other band members?
So we've got our front man's called CJ. He sings and plays the guitar. And then we've got our lead guitarist called Deck, who's studying a medical degree at Glasgow Uni, which I think is pretty crazy. So he asked me the other day if he wanted me to do a if he could use me to demonstrate a rectal exam. And I told him no. And we've got Callum, who is our bassist, very monotone man, like classic bassist, leans against the wall, never says anything.
Nice.
And then me, obviously, on the drums.
Nice. So what inspired you to make your own band?
So I wasn't really a founding member of the band, but the two, CJ and Callum, both were played in a band called The Modern Kind, who they were really big before. I think they've kind of had a bit of a plateau in terms of they're not gigging so much anymore because they're getting older. But Callum and CJ played for this band. And then I met Callum and Tesco when I was working there. And
Our Tesco.
Nice. This is how I know Lewis. So I met him in Tesco when I was working there. And literally his very, very last shift, I said to him, "So, like, what do you do for fun?" And he went, "Oh, I play bass." And where's this been all this time? I said, "Oh, I'm a drummer." And I was kind of looking for a band. I've been playing drums for by that point, it would have been about 12 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a long time to not be playing live music. So kind of went and joined in with Callum. And then he was saying, "Well, I've got my mate CJ," who I didn't know. I knew them both at school. Apparently, I knew them both at school. And then we went to the studio, but we were missing something. So we added Deck to come in and play lead guitar, and we've been a four-piece since. So probably your similarities would be kind of your normal kind of four-piece bands. I don't want to say your normal four-piece bands, then say a five-piece band.
Yeah.
But like your indie bands, like obviously everybody in their grand's influenced by Oasis.
Yeah.
Like a bit of the Catfish. We've got some weird stuff as well, like a tune we just released called Hard to Forget. It's got a section that's in 7/4, which not many people in Glasgow, well, I don't want to say that and then be proven wrong, but to my knowledge, not many indie bands in Glasgow have got songs and odd time signatures and stuff like that, which is a very kind of Foo Fighters-y type thing, so we've definitely got influences from there. But yeah, just kind of influences from everywhere that we can take them from.
That's good. I've heard a few of your songs, but I want to know, what is the favourite song? What is your favourite song that you've recorded?
So my personal favourite's Hard to Forget, which is the song we've just released. I just think it shows a lot of what we're capable of as musicians, obviously with the kind of more complex, your 7/4, stuff like that. It shows a lot more of what we're capable of. But our debut song will always be the debut song, which was Bucharest, which
actually got these two to listen to it before.
It gets people turn around and go, "You guys sound like a real band."
And that's what they said as well.
Yeah, they sound like a real band. It's
a
like,
good song.
Yeah, we are a real band. but that was produced by, you don't know, like The Cure, Snow Patrol.
Yeah.
So we got their sound engineer to mix Bucharest. So he's worked with them on tour and stuff like that. So it's been good getting to know kind of people in the industry and working closely with people in the industry. So he produced Bucharest, and we ended up in something like, I think it was 5 weeks we were doing about 1,000 streams a week.
Really?
At the peak, and it's kind of leveled off at, I think, about six or seven. Don't quote me on that, but definitely around kind of six. It's got us a lot of attention for getting better gigs and stuff like that.
That's good. That's good. So I seen that your band impressively sold out King Tut. So first question actually, how did that feel that you almost sold out King Tut?
Yeah. My intention whenever I pick up a venue is I want to sell it out, regardless of where it is, regardless of how big or small it is, regardless of whether it's a Wednesday or a Saturday, I want to sell it out. And from the jump, our goal was to even reach King Tut's. So getting to King Tut's, and then, so when we were told about the tickets, we went on stage, we played our set, we were headlining, it was a present, so it was based on ticket sales. We went on and we did our headline. We actually sold so many tickets that I was able to negotiate a 45 minute over a half hour. It was meant to be every band got a half hour slot, but I basically turned around and said to them, listen, we've sold half the tickets for the whole venue, like you can give us 45 minutes. And then after we'd got our ticket total, we basically, our guys were going away, they were going out to clubs that night, and I got dragged into the office. I had to go and chase them off the street into the office, and they said,
really?
You guys were, I think it was something like 36 tickets off selling it out, so it wasn't much at all. And they said, we're looking at bands for New Year's Revolutions, which is their January festival that they run. And they said, we want you to play, like, pick a day.
You got to pick your own day.
Pick a day. So I said, I'll have the first Saturday of the festival, please. They were like, all right, cool. And that was a proper, like, damn, like, we're here moment, where I was like, they literally went, pick whatever day you want. Like, and so we got to pick our bands to support us as well. So we're playing King Tut's in January.
In
January for the, this one's going to sell out, hopefully.
So that's literally what I was going to ask. Is there any more shows that we're expecting in the future? Yeah. So you're going to King Tut's
again? So we've got King Tut's again. I can't confirm anything, but we're looking like a gig in Liverpool might materialise.
Liverpool?
I want to play a gig in Manchester. We've got a couple of gigs in Edinburgh, and we're also looking at potentially setting up a gig in Dundee and Aberdeen. And also we've got another gig potentially. I don't want to give too much away, but I've literally told you every gig we've got in the...
I find that mental that you said went from Harley's to, like, Liverpool and Manchester.
So literally it's been 2, 3, 4, I want to say 5 gigs we've played. Harley's, McCool's, which was a support, Classic Grand, King Tut's twice.
That's...
2. And out of those, headline, support, headline, headline, headline. So we've landed really, really lucky in how we've marketed the band and how we've managed to reach people, because as an independent band, you don't have that record label support or anything like that. So a lot of what you do is done yourself. Like, I run the social media. Like, I get in touch with promoters, stuff like that. So it's kind of... It was a learning curve in that kind of management side of things, which is such a kind of... That having to hustle to get gigs is, like, it's been really good, and it helps you properly value the gigs you
What's
get.
What's that like having to manage, like, all, like, the social media and stuff like that?
It's great fun. I couldn't manage myself before, and I still kind of can't, but with a band, it's, like, totally different. It's, like, it's just, yeah, it's... getting random emails from people saying, we saw your Instagram, do you want to come and play this gig in XYZ? And we got offered a lot of charity gigs, because obviously you're getting to the time of year where your music people at college and stuff are looking at arranging gigs. And we got offered loads of charity gigs because they need to arrange a gig. So unfortunately we didn't pick any of them up, but obviously kind of palming them off, because it's good to bring in these kind of smaller indie... I say smaller, we've literally played 5 gigs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be too, like, up myself, but, like...
Glaze yourself as much as possible.
Nah. But, like, it's that... playing 5 gigs, but just making that such a loud entrance.
Yeah.
Of, like, right, we're here now. And once we sell out King Tut's, we've got another gig potentially in Glasgow set up, playing Stereo.
Nice.
And the thing with your gigs, see with King Tut's, you do that through a promoter, and they keep a lot of your money. But when you go on and do an independent gig and do it yourself, mm-hmm. you can then make so much more. So see King Tut's, I'll get into numbers with you. So with King Tut's, we sold 150 tickets, right? At nice. About 11 pound, you're talking about $1,500 worth of money we mm-hmm. brought in, right? Mm-hmm. So from that, we got about £500-600.
That's
the promoter walks away with £1,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Right.
So you're getting a third.
All the so here or there, it's like 60-40 the split, yeah. But the numbers work out somehow. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it's crazy how, and in this day and age, like promoters used to do loads. Bands promote themselves now.
Yeah.
Like I promote, the band promote everything on Instagram, like, and through TikTok and stuff like that. We sell tickets, they don't.
Yeah.
So I've been working with my videographer on who plays for a band, a punk rock band called Single by Sunday. Mm-hmm. They were quite big kind of a wee while ago. They kind of toured a lot in America and stuff like that. I've been working with him on trying to get independent gigs where basically, like, you could go rent out a venue tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive. Mm-hmm. But they make all their money from the bar. And then from that, all the money's yours. Mm-hmm. So there's so much money to be made, and promoters do next to nothing. Like, they're good for getting in the door at first. And when you're not sure about how many tickets you're going to sell, you get a bit of a safety blanket of you get £100 versus ticket sales. So if you don't sell £100 worth of tickets, then you get £100 whether you make it or not.
Yeah.
So you get kind of safety from them. But now that like we're moving further and further away from them actually promoting, it's like more, there's more money that we can be greedy and take and still pay our overheads. And that then makes, because as much as the band scene in Glasgow is looking great right now, and in Scotland in general, as much as it's looking great right now, it's dying off because bands will play when they're teenagers, but there's no money to keep them there. There's no money in the industry. You don't make money off streams. Like we've done something like 7,000 or 8,000 streams between our two songs. I think that's about 80p, if that.
A bit more than that. What's that from Spotify?
Like, and a lot of our streams, so we'll probably do, probably got about 1,000 on Apple Music. That would probably be our next biggest one, but that's for both songs. Like 1,000 versus 8,000. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't realise how big Spotify is. Like, I'm an Apple Music user, but you don't realise how many people actually use Spotify. I was talking to the guys before about, like, you can go in and see all your analytics. Like, how has a small indie band from the south side of Glasgow reached, like, Pakistan and, like, Australia? We've got a genuinely, like, 30 or 40 listeners in Australia.
That's crazy.
And then we've got, like, just under, I think we've got 380-odd listeners in the UK. But we've got about 320 in the States.
That's like relatable to us, because ever since we've released that hip hop podcast, it's been listened to in the Bahamas,
the States, Zambia,
Atlanta, Zambia, like
random places.
Mm. Yeah, there's places in England as well. Like, I know, it's mad.
So if you see Avenue Street in Zimbabwe doing a gig, then get a flight, buy a ticket, it'll be good.
This might be their dream. Their favourite podcast and their favourite band.
This might be it. shout out to the Zambian listener.
You were talking about like the band scene in Glasgow. What are the other like bands similar to Avenue Street that you've worked with?
There's no one. I'm joking. we've worked with some great bands over the years, but we've literally been playing live. Like, we've been rehearsing for longer, but we've been actually playing live for like a year. But we've played with some great bands.
Almost sold out King Tut's. Yeah, it's mental.
Incredible growth. Like, the support, like, we couldn't have done it without, like, a lot of who sells the tickets is friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then they bring their friends and family, and then they bring their friends and family. And then what we're at the stage of doing just now is trying to convert these friends into fans.
Yeah.
And try and convert their friends into fans and then building a fan base rather than it being a returning group of family and friends. I've totally went off course of the question, but
no, that's fine.
Rather than it being this group of family and friends that always returns, having your kind of a fan base that will. So that's why these gigs in Edinburgh and these gigs in Aberdeen and these gigs in Liverpool mm-hmm. are like great opportunities. The gig in Liverpool have been offered as two bands from Liverpool and two bands from Scotland. And it's in, I can't remember the name of the venue, but it's in the venue where the Beatles played their first gig.
That's quite cool.
Jar something, Jar.
I don't know what it's called.
I can't remember. But
I was expecting you to know it.
But like Bastille's playing there next week.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a small venue, but people play it.
Would you say it's like an O2 Academy, kind of?
Nah, it's way smaller than that.
Way smaller.
Yeah. It's probably more in line with, like, in terms of size from photos and stuff, probably like a classic grand, maybe.
Really?
Maybe not even that big. It's like a small place. But it'd be a good opportunity to kind of spread the listener base out a wee bit and make ourselves look more legit. Because we are just four guys for Glasgow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to say, like, we met on a private jet and CJ was doing cocaine and all that. Like, that's just not the case. We are four guys from Glasgow. Like,
just met in Tesco.
Met in Tesco, yeah. Like, literally stocking shelves. But loads of great bands in Glasgow. We've worked with a band we worked with, actually our very first gig at Harley's, who we wanted to return with us to King Tut's.
Mm-hmm.
When we'd requested bands, we were like, we want the High Flats. So these boys are from, I can't quite remember where they're from, but they're called the High Flats because they all stay in the same High Flat. And they're a great band. They've released some good tunes and stuff that we know they pull tickets. So mm-hmm. we were like, we'll get them in. There's another band called Mixed Signals who we wanted to work with, but it didn't end up materialising for some reason. I don't know why. But, like, if this reaches any of them, then, you know, we want to work with you. They released a tune called Are You Satisfied? And that tune got over 100,000 streams.
What?
Wow.
And I think
for
that...
an indie band.
And that was within crazy. A couple of months.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
So it shows, like, what the Spotify algorithm can do, like... Because I messaged them after. I was like, how have you done this? How have you done this? I need to know. Did you pay for it? How did you do it? And they literally just said, I'd love to tell you, like, I paid, but it was just luck. Like, we hit the algorithm and it started pushing our stuff. So they're a great band. We'd love to work with them. Band called Connie, or Call Connie.
Yeah.
They're quite good. We worked with them at Harley's as well. So it's funny how... like my idea of who the good bands in Glasgow are with the bands that I've got the chance to play with, and the more and more gigs we're playing, the more and more bands we're getting to play with. So at King Tut's, we're getting supported by two bands who I hadn't heard of before. A band called The Fear. Can't remember. Well, I think they might be Glasgow based. Yeah. And a band called Hit List, who are from Aberdeen.
That's...
And they've got, like, in terms of, like, follower bases, they've got, like, much larger follower bases than us. Obviously, the travelling, they might not pull as many tickets, but they seem like they're going to put a bus on.
What, a tour bus?
No, like a coach to bring people, fan bus.
That's
I think
crazy.
That's unreal.
That is crazy.
I think that's unbelievable.
For an indie band, that is crazy. But, so I've got one more question. I don't know if you can answer this fully, but are we expecting some new... music from you anytime soon?
Well, yeah, so obviously, as I'm saying, with consistency and dropping, the biggest thing is to be consistent, because like with the streams that some of these algorithm hitters are getting, that's pushing us out. So we want to keep consistent with it. We're dropping hopefully next year we're gonna have an album or an EP out. The only issue with that is they're really expensive, but we're hopefully going to have an album or an EP out and potentially another single before that, but we'll see how things go.
So you can't give any full closure yet, no?
The biggest thing I can say is any songs that we play live right now are probably going to be on the album.
Yeah.
So if you buy a ticket to King Tut's, you can hear the album ahead of time.
Go and support him. Go buy buy a ticket to King Tut's for him.
Yeah, there's we've got all the tunes ready. Like there's no writing involved really. Every now and then we're in the studio, we'll try a new tune.
Yeah.
But yeah, all our tunes are ready to go. We literally just need gigs to fund it.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is
like
crazy.
A 4-song EP is going to cost us probably the best part of £1,200.
£1,200, but between these are like...
No, like as a band, we keep all the money in the band. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like all the gig money stays within the band. So everything we've bought, photographers, everything, has all been funded by the money we made.
Mm-hmm.
We've been putting in money here and there, like we sell t-shirts and stuff like that, like buying merch and stuff, we've put in money, but keeping all the money in the band keeps it fluid and keeps it all moving.
Yeah.
So like, because we're all like, well, a couple of the boys are working, me and Deck are both students, like we can't afford to be putting in like a songs. See, to record a song, yeah, you're the 9 times out of 10 best part of £300 a tune, right? So you can make that in a night,
yeah,
easily at a gig. Mm-hmm. Easily you can make £300 a night, so you just need to
balance it,
put that money back in. So it's hopefully, if we sell out King Tut's, we sell a good number of tickets. I mean, the gig was announced a couple of weeks ago. We're on 40 ticket sales. Mm-hmm. It's not till January.
Yeah.
We never sell, like, we barely ever sold tickets until like gig week.
Yeah.
So to be on like 40 ticket sales already, it shows there's a demand for it.
That's crazy. Well, we're talking about indie rock, indie bands. Should we talk about how it started, basically?
Okay, the history of it.
Yeah, the history.
Okay, so the origins of indie, which I thought was just, it meant it's independent, DIY. But it started from the Buzzcocks' 1977 EP, Spiral Scratch, which is considered the first independently funded.
Yeah, they like funded that themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, and they're like the first known for that in the 70s.
Were they the ones that propelled it, or was it just
they
like, didn't
really propel they just it. Kind they just of like, they're the first ones, weren't they?
Yeah, they coined the term indie, basically.
Yeah, and then in the '80s, that's when like that's kind of when it started to grow a bit more. That's when like the Smiths and Stone Roses came in. They're really good, and then in the '90s, I consider like the '90s to be like the best.
Yeah, like Blur, Oasis,
Radiohead, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2000s, that's kind of when. That's when like everyone was kind of like trying to like hop on the train, because apparently
I think of like Arctic Monkeys, like 2010s. Yeah.
Apparently in 2012, the US Bureau of Labor Statistics found that in between 2003 and 2012, the number of indie artists increased by 70%. So it's a
which makes sense. I think social media is making indie blow up, because they can actually promote themselves.
Aye, definitely.
Like as you were saying, you don't need a promoter as much, which is why social media, everyone's would rather be indie, because there's more money in it.
Yeah,
you lose money signing a record deal.
Literally.
Yeah, like, most of the time when you see smaller artists, maybe not your big guys, even at that, you never really make money off your music. You make money off gigs. That's why, like, Taylor Swift, she'll make a fortune off her music, though.
Yeah.
But she's still doing tours and stuff like that, because that's how you make your money. Like, signing a record deal, you're genuinely, like, you pay them to be part of their record deal.
Yeah.
Like, as much as they say, we give you XYZ, but we need to pay this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy, and then we need to pay to make your songs. So actually, you owe us £500. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's no money to be made.
That's crazy. We were talking about the 90s and like all like the main bands, like your Oasis,
Blur,
and your Blurs. There was a bit of a beef between them, wasn't there?
A big one. They're the two biggest.
Who do you prefer? Is it Adventures?
I'm an Oasis.
I'm an Oasis as well.
I feel like it's not.
It's got to be Oasis.
I know. But Blur are...
I do like Blur.
I do like Blur, but I think Oasis just... I wouldn't say they blow them out of the water, but I think like, it's no debate for me.
I don't want to show my age here, but I do think Blur kind of took more of the spotlight because someone wanted someone to challenge Oasis.
Yeah.
Like, the media wanted someone to challenge Oasis, and I'm probably enraging loads of Blur fans, but, like, yeah, I think they were probably peddled a lot by being the one to challenge Oasis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were really there for it.
No.
I think that grew them being compared
with
also so the beef propelled because of the battle of the classes where Oasis were like more of a working class background. Where Blur were more middle class, like posh. And then Oasis also called Blur art school wankers. I think that just says everything you need to know about.
I actually don't like the Blur members, like see most of them.
Yeah.
They're just pricks. Like,
I have seen like interviews with them and they don't like.
See, what's his name? Nardwa?
I've seen the Nardwa interview. Yeah. I was like, the guy the guy with specs just seems like kind of a.
I know he like took his hat and stuff and was getting booed.
I don't want to name any names, but in Glasgow there are some proper artsy bands, like proper, like like
the Nautics,
like smell them from outside the venue type artsy. I don't want to offend anyone, but like there are some proper artsy bands.
I think another I'm going back to the Oasis Blur beef now. So I think another one that kind of propelled the beef was. Oasis released Roll With It, which is like one of the, like, their most popular songs, and Blur also released Country House, which was released on the same day. And Oasis were the favourites to go number one, but Blur outsold them by 58,000 copies. And then they also got to perform on Top of the Pops. So what do you think of that? Because we're obviously saying Oasis is like better than Blur, but then Blur is just like...
It's like Barbenheimer.
To be fair, I actually do like that Blur song. Country House had a good song.
Would you say it's better than Roll With It?
No.
I wouldn't say it's better either, but I think the fact that they've sold that out like, over Roll With It, which is like, I'd say top five most popular Oasis songs.
Maybe. But as it became that over time.
Yeah.
Like, Blur probably had a big boom at the start and then levelled out, whereas Roll With It kept getting streams. And now when we look back on it, we'll go, well, that's one of the biggest tunes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But it maybe wasn't to begin with.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. So so should we go into the rankings?
And I'm making my list out.
We can fully can fully decide who's better.
But so we're doing top 10 indie rock artists of all time.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think, Bailey, since you're the guest... Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm just going to try and get it up. It's in me and Lewis's chat. thank goodness I saved it. Right, so I have got a list, right? I want to preface this by saying this is... So the briefing was all time, right? I'm going for my favourite right now, all time.
I'm also doing that.
So, like, there's some bands in here. Like, I've got Wonder Horse in here. I don't think they're one of the best indie rock bands of all time, or indie bands of all time at the minute. But at the trajectory they're at, they will be. So I'm just going off of who my favourites are. But at the minute, should I go from 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
So at the minute, I've went number 10, Avenue Street.
I would have
put myself higher, but let's go number 10. Number 9, I've went Kasabian.
Love that.
I went for the Snuts at number 8. That's quite low. I think a lot of people think that's quite low. I'm not really on the Snuts train, I can't lie.
I don't have them.
I don't have the Snuts either, to be honest.
See, like, I like some of the tunes, but...
Yeah.
Oh, and also the Smiths don't make an appearance on this list.
Neither on mine.
They are quite high in my list, I can't lie.
Like, I respect them as a band, but I just don't like them.
I just hate Morrissey's voice too much.
Really? Fair enough, actually. That's probably my least favourite part about them.
Yeah, like, they have some good songs. Yeah. Like... catchy songs. I just don't like them that much.
I've went for Sam Fender at number 7. I think he could be higher. I really like Sam Fender.
I like Sam.
He's indie could be put up to question.
I think
he's got that indie sound, that kind of your transmit, your like the kind of he's in that crowd, kind of along with my number 6 is Paolo Nutini.
Nice.
Again, is he indie? Probably not. He's also even indie sound, but I've put him in.
I would say so. I'm not the biggest Paolo Nutini fan.
Really?
To be honest, yeah. I've always found him a bit overrated.
This guy's gonna form clips. You want a hot take?
Hot take?
Never.
At number 5, I've got Wonder Horse.
Nice.
I feel like they will be higher. Like, yeah, over time, they're just going to keep climbing and climbing and climbing. But mm-hmm. at the minute, they're at my number five. Number four, I've went for Franz Ferdinand. Mm. I feel like I'm really on the Glasgow bands, yeah, or the Scottish bands at the minute. But Franz Ferdinand, actually the current drummer, Audrey Tate, mm-hmm. went to Stonewall High School in, yeah, Rutherglen. My, oh, school, really? I went to in Rutherglen. That's, yeah, because my music teacher would never shut up about it. But Audrey Tate went here, and
that's literally 2 minutes away from my school. That's, yeah, I find that crazy.
Literally down the road. And she was doing, I think she was doing like session work and stuff before, mm-hmm. and then Franz Ferdinand needed a drummer, and they just went, come play for us. Like, I can't imagine getting a phone call that, like, crazy. That. Number three, I've got, this is Kit, I don't want to say newcomer, but to be in the top three with the guys I've got in my top three, you'd need to be some caliber of a band. Mm-hmm. And I think these guys will eventually end up being a number two or a number one. But at number three, I've got Catfish and the Bottlemen.
I like that. I like that.
At number two, mm-hmm. I've got Oasis.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
And at number one, I've got the Arctic Monkeys.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I think putting Oasis.
I don't have Arctic Monkeys.
I don't either.
Oh, you've not put them on at all. They're not even in your top 10. Clip that.
You don't have Arctic Monkeys in your top 10 indie rock artists.
I understand.
This guy's a clip farmer.
You don't listen to Arctic Monkeys.
I do sometimes.
I think you need to go out of your way and not listen to Arctic Monkeys in this. Like.
And I do go out my way.
Do you?
I go out my way.
Wow.
See, do I want to know? That song.
Oh, it's overplayed, but it's a banger.
Like, just because it's overplayed doesn't mean it's bad.
What can you say about that? That plays at a venue and the place erupts. Like,
fair enough, live, I think I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
But going out my way to listen to them, can't do it.
Got to be an honorable mention in there of the 1975. I don't know how they didn't make it. But again, are they indie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Okay. They would probably be in there somewhere. You can, if you've got an issue with, yeah, Paolo Nutini, you can substitute, yeah, the 1975 in.
But I, yeah, don't have an issue with Paolo. I agree with that.
It's whether or not he's indie.
Yeah. It's debatable.
I've always thought he was just more like a solo artist.
Mm. But I think he's always marketed himself like that. But Pencil Full of Lead was on every single radio station.
Yeah.
Like, and whether or not, obviously it was getting good listenership, but mm-hmm. whether or not an indie artist could reach that, yeah, kind of.
Fair enough. I don't mind your list. I think you just need the Smiths in there.
Oh.
I think you can't talk about indie bands and not having Smiths in your top 10.
Wait, what? Do you want to go next then, Lewis?
I'll go next. All right, okay. So, I don't know if you're going to like this. Right, number 10, I've got Nirvana.
Okay.
Number 9, I've, yeah, got Rex Orange County.
Okay.
Okay. Silence.
Despite the controversies. I don't know if he's been cleared of that,
no,
or not.
They've been cleared. They've been cleared, I think.
Well, like 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, they've even posted themselves that it's been, nice, cleared.
Oh, right.
Number 8's not P. Diddy, is it?
Number 8, I've got Beyonce. Number 8, I've got The Killers.
Okay. Okay.
Number 7, I've got Kasabian.
Nice.
Number 6, Blur. Number 5, I've got Radiohead. Number 4, I've got the 1975. Number 3, I've got Arctic Monkeys. Number 2, The Smiths. And number 1, Oasis.
Oh, the Smiths over the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, I just prefer. I like both of them, but I prefer the Smiths.
Well, I think I'm really showing. I'm really showing how little I listen to indie music.
Yeah, no. I don't even know what indie is. Like, half of mine might not really be indie.
Oh, I cannot wait for you to say Sam Smith.
Just brought me out.
Anything else to say about my list?
Smithing,
I thought I was gonna get cooked. To be honest,
I think the biggest thing you're missing is Avenue Street in your top 5.
maybe in a year from now. If you're doing King Tuts this year,
give it a
next
year. Transmit. That's the goal.
Is that the goal?
I'll see you there.
I think reasonably. So it's King Tuts promoters do Transmit. I don't want to look back on this and sound like an idiot if we never do it.
Yeah.
But if we sell out King Tuts, I can then go, well, you know what? You've got that wee stage.
Yeah.
Who are you going to put on that stage? Stick us on.
Yeah.
But within the next 2 years, I want to play Transmit.
We'll look back on this.
We'll look back on this and go, what an absolute idiot. What is he talking about?
Fair enough. So, Michael.
I'll do mine now.
You do yours now.
So, for number 10, I've got Joy Division.
I was quite close to putting it in. Yeah.
Number 9, I've got Blur. 8, I've got Stereophonics.
Ooh.
Niche.
7, I've got Nirvana.
Niche? Stereophonics? Niche? Like every 40-year-old mum ever has just lost their mind.
7 is Nirvana. 6 is The Smiths. 5, I've got Smashing Pumpkins.
I like that.
4, I've got Stone Roses. 3, I've got The Strokes. 2, I've got Radiohead. And 1, I've got Oasis.
No Arctic Monkeys.
No Arctic Monkeys. I was debating putting them at 10, but...
Mate, these guys are haters, man. I know. Honestly.
I think yours definitely sounds more like a seasoned indie listener who kind of hates the mainstream of Arctic Monkeys. And
I don't really hate. I don't know. Okay, 50-50.
Okay.
All right. Jack, do you want to round this off?
I feel like mine's going to get hated.
Really?
Right. At number 10, I've got We Were Promised Jetpacks.
Who?
Scottish band.
I've never heard of
them. Is that a Scottish band? They're good. At 9, I've got Tame Impala.
Oh, yeah. I missed a trick there.
8.
But are they indie?
Yes.
Aye, I think so.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
At 8, I've got Belle and Sebastian.
Sorry, I would have put Tame Impala in my top 10 if I knew that.
I did
Google not tell you that? No.
I sure we did talk about that before.
But we spoke about this.
Yeah.
At 8, Belle and Sebastian, another Scottish band. 7, I've got Wonder Horse. 6, I've got Alex G. 5, Catfish and the Bottlemen. 4, Smashing Pumpkins. 3, Oasis. 2, Fontaines, and 1, Radiohead.
Fontaines at number 2 is crazy.
I love the Fontaines.
Like, I think they should definitely be in the conversation at top 10.
I think they're going up. Like, they're just going to keep going.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But number 2 is outrageous.
Number 2 right now, my favourite.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying they are a number 2. I'm saying my favourite.
Because I thought I'd disagree with your list more, but I actually don't mind it.
It's not bad.
If I knew who any of the bands you said besides the ones I know were, then I would maybe have an issue, but I don't know them. So
do you not know Belle and Sebastian? I feel like I've heard of them, but they do Boy with an Arab Strap.
Under the Sea, different Sebastian.
Different Sebastian.
Sorry, that's a Little Mermaid joke.
But I say out of all the lists, me and you were the most similar probably.
Which maybe shows how much Google suggests.
Maybe.
What, did you both just Google who's an indie artist?
Well, no, I did based off like what I listened to the most, but also...
Did you want on Google this morning? I saw.
Stop exposing me, right?
Right, so now we're going to take a wee short break, and then after it, Jack, the game master, has got some games lined up for us.
I like that name.
I like that.
Game master.
It sounds like I'm going to whip you.
Playing games in my heart.
Right, we'll see yous back after the break.
Ciao.
So, welcome back. So, we're now going to get onto the games now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jack, what games have you got lined up for us?
Okay, I've got some questions to ask yous.
Right.
And yous have to get the top 5 most streamed Oasis songs. And we'll start with you. Can you get the number 1 for 5 points?
So there's lots in my mind.
Just think.
And I think
these are Spotify streams, aren't they?
I think the most obvious one might be number 2 or 3. I'm going to go Wonderwall.
That is number 1.
Ooh.
I thought it'd be number 5 points.
I thought that might have been lower.
Should I keep track of these?
Yeah. Okay. Your guess, Lewis.
So I think I'm gonna go with "Don't Look Back in Anger."
That is number 2.
Wow,
what you're going down the list?
Is that not what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Kind of.
Wait. So yeah, Bailey's got 5 points, and I've got 4. Right.
What's your guess, Michael?
I'm gonna go with Supersonic.
It's not there.
Oh, that's an outrageous pick for the top 5.
How is that not outrageous pick?
Bro, might as well have said Master Plan. That's crazy.
I don't think that's an outrageous pick at all.
Okay, it's back to you then.
Top 5. So we've got Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger. It's difficult because it's top 5. Yeah. And I think after you do like your Wonderwall and your Don't Look Back in Anger, I think the rest of them are all on kind of even streams.
They're all like interchangeable.
Yeah. So...
Just chuck one out there.
The only one that's coming to my mind, I think, isn't in the top five.
You never know.
Morning Glory.
No.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Underrated, but yeah. I think it should be in the top five.
I think that
should
be. That's my favourite song of that album. Mm.
Oh, they're all coming to my head now.
I'm going to go with...
We'll do one more rotation, and if you just don't get it, then no one gets it.
She's Electric.
No.
No?
No.
I thought that would be. Wow. Okay.
Live Forever.
Live Forever's five, so you get one.
Okay, go. Give me... Champagne Supernova.
That is number three. For 3 points.
Knocking off all the high scorers.
Okay, you can get the last one, Lewis. Number four.
Have we discussed it on this podcast?
Roll With It.
No.
Oh, that's what I was going for. That's what I was going for.
You should have let me answer him before you get to that.
I know.
He was literally in the motion of shaking his head.
I'm actually...
Since you only have 1 point, I'll give you a little hint.
All right, fair.
What album's it on? That's the biggest hint I think you can give him.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no.
It has five words in the title.
Five words in it?
Yeah.
I think I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Do you want to put it up for a speed round if you don't know it?
If you don't get it in 10 seconds, then everyone can try guess.
I know what it is. I actually don't know what it is.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Does anyone else know?
Is it The Importance of Being Idle?
No.
You thought that would
that's,
be...
That's no... That's not...
No, that is Oasis, but...
There's no way that's top.
I don't think it's top five.
No, they said five words. I was like, oh, it might be a long one.
I was thinking Half the World Away, but that's
cool. It's got five words in it?
Stop Crying Your Heart Out.
Stop crying. That's such an obvious one.
What, had to count that one up. Wow, I've absolutely cleared you out.
I know. Right, so, you've got 10 points, you've got 4 points, I've got 1.
Ideal.
So we should have got the least amount of points.
Okay, then we're going for the rivals, the top 5 most streamed Blur songs.
Oh, I couldn't name 5 Blur songs.
Should I do another, or should I just add the points
just
on?
Just add it on.
Okay. Yeah.
I can name you.
Okay, you go first this time.
Oh.
Song 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my one.
Well, you got to go first last time.
How much is it?
That's one.
Number one. Okay.
Oh.
So you're on 6.
Yep.
Go on, Lewis.
Girls and Boys.
That is number two.
Ooh.
Oh. Park Life.
Number three.
Nice. All the people.
The so last two.
Beedle Bum? Is that what's good?
No.
Coffee and TV.
That is number four.
Yes!
The last one. If you were to ask this question since
I'm
again.
Since I'm such a casual, can we get a nice clue?
No. That's a great clue. The last one has been mentioned on this podcast earlier.
Has it?
Oh, I forgot the name. I forgot the name.
I forgot what it's called.
Oh, it's the one that they released at the same day as Oasis. Oh, no.
Yeah. I forgot what it's called.
You guys have notes.
Yeah, but I'd be blatantly cheating if I did that.
It's something to do with, I don't know if it's because you've just said, is it not it's something to do with coffee? No.
No.
No, nah, just,
it starts with co. Like.
CO.
Yeah, it starts with CO.
Ah, pass.
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 What, none of you get it?
No.
Give us another clue and we'll speed round it.
Another clue. This is the name of the album, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that gives me nothing.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to spell it out?
The first word has cunt in it. You mentioned it like 10 minutes ago. Country.
No one gets it. Country house.
Country house. Get me down for that. No. I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm glad this is the last episode.
The last one.
Sorry, I don't need the charity points anyway.
Top 5 best indie rock bands according to standard.co.uk. So this is basically up
to... So it's coming to me first. No, is this
Lewis first?
Is this based on monthly listeners?
No, this is based on someone's opinion.
Top five indie bands.
But they are like the most.
Okay.
I'll go with Radiohead.
What?
No.
As a
no.
first pick? Sorry if I just deafened everyone. Wait. As a first pick?
No, they are not there.
They're not even in the top five. No.
I thought they'd be in the top five at least.
Just because they're my favourite doesn't mean they're up there.
No, I thought they'd be in there. All right, no. Okay.
Okay. Whoa, it's you now.
Oasis.
No.
They're not in the top five.
Is this a...
It's just shit as me, baby.
Is this like an American or like a British list?
UK.
Is it UK? Oh.
How can Oasis not be in the top five?
This is why I picked this question. Just because it's shit.
Nirvana? Okay.
No.
No.
I just said...
This is...
Oh, it's back to Lewis.
Oh.
So we're doing like... Okay.
Top five, fucking.
It's ones we've all named.
Arctic Monkeys. Like, not,
yeah, they're number three. Yeah.
They're number three. Oasis aren't on it, and Arctic Monkeys are number three.
He's gonna be raging at number
oh
one.
Oh, the Smiths.
Yep.
Number one. This was made by a 90-year-old. Jesus.
Oh, it definitely says. I'm pretty sure you had number two in your list.
Did I? Stone Roses.
They're number five.
They should be in it. They should be in it. Considering the age of the person who's written this article, they should be in it.
So it's number two and number four left.
My mind is just...
I can't believe Oasis aren't in it.
My mind is just blanked. I actually don't know. So I've said Radiohead. And
foolishly, yes.
Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
Do you want to go for the Jonas Brothers or something?
The 1975.
No. We know it's an old person that's made this.
Mm. Yeah, guy that paints his nails is never going to be in the top five. I think this person might be of the other side of the divide. And that's maybe why Oasis aren't in the top five. So I'm going to guess Blur.
No.
Who's on this list?
Did you just give up?
No.
Is it all like kind of oldish? Like,
so we've guessed what the top. Who have we guessed?
You've guessed the Smiths, Arctic Monkeys, Stone Roses.
Is that the top three?
The ones. No, it's not top three.
Who's number two?
Starts with an S.
Did we have this on our list?
I didn't have it, but I'm pretty sure one of you's had this.
Strokes?
Strokes.
Ah.
That too?
Yeah.
The Strokes being... the Strokes being above Oasis is crazy.
I know.
And you just have to get one more.
I don't know.
Give us the first letter.
Well, the first word's there, but then it's C.
The Cure.
It's The Cure.
Shout out to Bucharest.
Is that number four?
That's four, so 2 points.
Oh,
it's
do we need a total?
I don't think the monthly listeners are saving you. I think really? Bailey's destroyed you.
Nah, go on. Give them double points.
Double points.
Double points.
Double points for everyone. So you
right. No, like, I'll get... Put me on quickly. Normal points.
Okay. Blur higher or lower than 10 million monthly listeners?
Lower.
I'd say lower.
It's higher. It's 11 million. Oh, God. Wait. So how am I? How are you getting points? Is it just who answers first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. The Cure, over or under 19 million? Under.
Lower.
Lower.
It is 19.8 million.
Oh, you suck.
Radiohead higher or lower than 28 million?
Lower.
It is higher. It's 30 million.
Oh my God.
I won't even answer it. I'll just sit on my hands.
What should I do for the points then?
Like, just give them two. Just two. Put two on.
Right.
Put three on if you want.
Add as many as you want. The two. Okay. Tame Impala, higher or lower than 22 million?
Higher.
Higher.
It's higher.
Okay.
It's
24.
Don't bother putting my point on. It's fine.
He's just so humble.
I know.
TV Girl, higher or lower than 20 million?
Lower.
Higher.
It's higher. It's 24.
Are they all higher?
No. Alex G, higher or lower than 9 million?
Higher.
Lower.
Thanks a lot as well.
It is higher.
Is it?
There's no
I
lower.
I just said that juice would be higher again. Okay, yeah, that's all.
I don't think there was a single lower there.
Nah, I don't remember there being a single lower either.
Wait, I think there was lower.
Do we want to see the scores in the doors?
Well, Bailey is still the winner.
Yeah, 20 million.
Well done, Bailey.
15 million and 15. 15 mil.
15 mil.
20 points.
But I think this will round off the last episode of Shoot and COGC.
Finale.
I know. Three episodes. I know. We're sorry. We might be back in the future. We're not going to be back. So we're sorry to all the Zambian listeners, the Bahamas listeners.
Shout out Zambia.
But thanks for coming on, Bailey. It's been good learning about you.
Thanks
your
for having me.
No worries.
And go stream Bucharest, go stream Hard to Forget, watch the music videos on YouTube. All the socials are avenuestreet.band. Go to King Tut's. Just live your Avenue Street life. Just surround yourself. Immerse yourself in Avenue Street.
And as of that, I've been your host, Lewis, two co-hosts, Michael and Jack. And we won't see you again, actually.
This
goodbye
is it.
I'll ask goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.